We're all interested in the weather, at least some of the time. Everyone needs to plan activities for a sunny day or avoid storms on the highway or check out the ski conditions. But for Eric Chatzigny, the weather is a passion. The high school English teacher in Mont-Tremblant is also an amateur meteorologist on the side. He spends hours poring over the data and checking out different weather models for the region. Then he publishes the results on his Laurentians weather website. Eric Chatzigny joins me this morning to talk about his fascination with forecasting and maybe conditions on the ski slopes this weekend, too. Hi, Eric. Welcome to All in a Weekend.
Good morning, Snowy. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
I felt very nervous about giving my weather forecast, knowing you were listening to it.
Nah, it was all right.
Because I also know, like, we have to go to multiple sources for our weather to confirm what's happening, because sometimes it's just not accurate and it's not coming out at the right time. But how did you get so fascinated with meteorology?
Well, it's difficult to say. I was young, maybe 5 years old, and I was fascinated by the nature, pretty much, and mainly the extreme weather, like thunderstorms, snowstorms. So that's how I got fascinated, I would say.
And you grew up on Île d'Orléans.
Yeah, exactly. So right across Quebec. So I would see like the big systems coming our way. So that's how I got interested in weather.
And you studied meteorology at McGill. Why did you give it up?
I'd say I didn't like the big city. Like I said, I'm like a nature guy, so I found it tough to live downtown.
You mean you couldn't deal with all the cones and construction? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
How did you not find that peaceful and easy to navigate? But you went, so you started studying at McGill, and then what did you do after you stopped studying there?
Well, I moved back to Quebec City, and then I registered in the English teaching program. And then after that, I moved to Saint-Agathe-des-Monts.
And how did you become, so you went into teaching, but then you still were interested in weather. How did you become a forecaster?
Well, that's the thing. I got here and I was noticing big differences among the main services. And then I realized that I could do better.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So how did you start out? Like, where did you kind of start looking at information or getting information from?
Well, actually, I was home. I was looking at the weather models. And like I said, I was watching the weather forecasts on the web. And slowly but surely, I told my colleagues at the time that, the forecast wasn't accurate. There would be big differences, and then maybe we would not have school and then have a snow day. And then everybody were happy. And, they finally said, well, you're pretty good. Maybe you should publish your forecast.
Mm-hmm. Well, what makes your weather forecast different, though, from the big services like Météo Média or Environnement Canada? Like, what's different about the way you do it?
Well, I'd say mainly because it's 100% human-made. So, the apps you look on your cell phone today are 100% automated.
Right.
So they are the result of a single weather model. So if the model is right, you're going to get a pretty accurate forecast. But then most of the time, the models are not perfect. And that is why, by having a look at the different models, and especially the European models, which is a lot more effective than the Canadian or the American models, then you can come up with a pretty accurate forecast.
Why are the European and American models more accurate?
Well, mainly, I suppose, because they are better made. It's, for instance, the European model is a lot more precise in terms of levels. Like it has, I don't know exactly the number of levels, but it sees the atmosphere a lot better.
Okay. And why is the region of the Laurentians more challenging, do you think?
Yeah. Well, mainly because of the topography. Like if you've driven through the Laurentians, like you have the lower Laurentians, and then you have a You have some mountains and then valleys. So it makes a big difference, especially like in the winter when there is freezing rain. Mm-hmm. So the cold air get trapped in the valleys. So you have like freezing rains in the valleys and then often rain in the mountains.
Right. Okay. And the valleys and the mountains really do make it difficult. And I can see how that would affect a forecast, but like how much difference do you see, for example, for some place that's in, like, you know, the, in Saint-Gervais, for example, that's in a valley compared to another place that's really in the mountains?
Well, like just Saint Agathe, I mean, you will see a lot of difference in terms of snow accumulation. The wind also has its role to play.
Yes.
So, yes. And when we have like some big storms, the wind's going to make a big difference. So the direction of the wind. So when it's southeast, you're going to get a lot of snow in places like Saint Agathe, Saint Faustin, Saint Sauveur, in the ski resorts. And then in Saint-Gervais, you get a lot of dry air coming down the mountains. So that's why there's less snow in the valley.
Well, you know, it's funny because I, you know, I have to forecast for the entire province. And briefly, of course, that's not the entire show. And there are other things, but I try to be as accurate as possible. But when I see a forecast for a place like Florian Park lumped in with Percé and Gaspé, I know those forecasts are going to be different.
Like, definitely. That's another thing. I mean, if someone wants to have a better forecast, you often need to combine the different places to get a better idea.
Right. And your model actually worked the night that people were trapped in the snow on Highway 13 in 2017. Tell me how your model actually worked when that snowstorm was going on.
Well, if I remember right, I mean, the amount of snow that fell in a short period of time could not be seen by the regular models. So high-resolution models saw actually the intensity of the snow that was coming. So to some extent, it was a bit more predictable than what the big services said.
But why wouldn't they have access to those images?
Well, they have access to it. It's just like I said, it's all automated.
It's, yeah.
So you don't have someone calling you to say, look, what we've published will be wrong.
Well, and that was the big debate after that snowstorm, yeah, is everybody was saying, like, well, it was a surprise. Like, what was it, a surprise?
Oh, it wasn't such a surprise, yes.
Yeah. How much time do you spend putting together your forecasts?
Well, I would say an hour in the morning. And then when there is a storm or when there are thunderstorms in the summer, I spend a lot more time, like 2 hours a day to 3 hours a day, so I can make some weather maps for the snow accumulation. I also share my maps with Zone.ski. And so it can, I would say it varies from 1 to 3 hours a day, but I'm always connected, looking at the latest models, like they come out every 6 hours. So at 7 at 1 o'clock, I turn my cell phone on and I connect myself to the weather sites where I can actually view the models.
So my godmother is a gardener, so she gets very angry at me when I tell her it's going to rain or it's going to be bad weather. And then she just says, you're a liar. I'm like, I am just working with the information I'm given. But do you have people who get in touch with you to say that, you know, you were this, you know, Environment Canada was actually wrong about this, and this is what actually happened?
Well, I try not to give myself too much credit. I let the others do it. But, you know, on Facebook, I have something like 3,000 followers. And that's the kind of comment that I have the chance to read. So things like, good job, you're doing awesome. Your forecasts are accurate. So thank you very much. And that's the kind of comments that I get, yes.
You must be very popular with the skiers, too.
Yeah, more and more, definitely.
And you're a skier yourself. And if there's just, you know, a few millimeters of snow wrong in a forecast, what can happen?
Well, the thing is, the weather models we talked about usually give the snow accumulation and the snow liquid ratio. So that means usually if the model sees 5 millimeters of precipitation, it's going to forecast 5 centimeters of snow. But in fact, it can be the double. Like you can get 5 millimeters of precipitation, but you're going to get 10 centimeters of snow and you're going to have like very fluffy snow. So that's usually what the skiers like. And that's what they like to hear also that they are getting 10 centimeters, not only 5.
Right. Okay. Yes, for sure. My kids like the big, fluffy, sticky snow that they can make snowmen with.
Well, that's the snow skiers don't really like.
I know. They hate it. What do your high school students think about the media attention you've been getting?
Well, they're pretty happy for me, I'd say. And when there's a storm coming, they all come to me and they ask me whether the school's going to be closed or not.
And they ask you the important questions, Eric.
The colleagues as well.
And what's the forecast for the slopes this weekend?
Well, a bit of snow. There should be a little system coming our way tomorrow, so we could get 5 to 10 centimeters of snow in the Laurentians.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
Eric Chatzigny is an amateur meteorologist in Mont-Tremblant, Saint-Agathe, who publishes his own forecasts for the region. And you can check them out at meteolaurentide.com. That's meteolaurentide.com.